Well, I was only here just last week. We were in the passage, Christmas passage last week, as we looked at the story of the shepherds coming into the place where the young child was. And now we're back in the Gospel of John, chapter 12. Now, if you can remember way back, we were in John chapter 11, where Lazarus had been raised from the dead. You remember, by the very mighty power of God, that he came to that tomb and spoke, and Lazarus rose from the dead. And this was now just after this, 6 days before the Passover, John chapter 12, verse 1. Jesus came to Bethany. Bethany was a small little village just a couple of miles outside of Jerusalem. And this was heading towards the cross. This was basically the last week before he was going to be taken and crucified. So it was coming to the end of the road for the life of Jesus. And it seems like we've been kind of going through the Gospel of John pretty quick, but there's a lot of teaching to come in the next chapters that are all crammed in there in the last section. But the action time is coming where Jesus Christ will be crucified. And so 6 days before the Passover, which was the time when Jesus would be put to death as the Passover lamb, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. And they made him a supper. And Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Must have been a wonder to see this one who is risen from the dead. And we will find a little later on in this chapter that it was a confounding wonder to the religious leaders of the day, because he was proof. Here was a guy who had been dead 4 days, and now he was out and walking around. And what they actually, it tells us a little bit later on, that the ruling leaders plotted to put Lazarus back to death because so many people were believing in Jesus, because the proof was in the pudding. The evidence was there. We'll see that was all political. That's why they were wanting to do it. But here is a little bit of respite. Here is Jesus with three of his favorite friends, Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And at a table with them, and as they were there, it tells us in John 12:3, Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Now, this passage of Scripture, we find someone worshiping Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. The Bible tells us, we've already saw that in John chapter 4, the Father, God in heaven, is looking for worshipers, people who worship Jesus in spirit and in truth, it says in John chapter 4. He is on the lookout for worshipers. And I want you to know that true worshipers of Jesus, there's something sweet about the worship of Jesus Christ. There's something glorious about the worship of Jesus Christ. There's something to be seen when you find a worshiper of God. And now every Christian ought to be what? A worshiper of God. Because that's what you are made for. You are made, you have been created in the image of God to worship God. You were born again. If you're born again today, you were made a new creation to worship God. Jesus is to be the very center of your existence, not just at a church service, but the center of your existence every hour of every day, a worshiper of God. The Bible says God is looking for worshipers, and there's something glorious about worshipers. There's something about it. When you walk into a place and people are worshiping God and their hearts are in it, it touches your own soul, doesn't it? When you find somebody that's worshiping God, it affects you. And here, the worship of Mary affected the people that were there. Now, it adversely affected one person, and we're going to see why. But here we find a worshiper. And in the process of her worship, what does she do? She takes this spikenard, which actually works out to a year's wages. 1 year's wages she takes. And she brings this costly spikenard, and she anoints the feet of Jesus. And she's just not content to anoint his feet, but she takes her very hair and she wipes his feet with her hair. And there's something that it says here, and it says the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. The house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. And the picture here is that the house was filled with the fragrance of her worship. Her worship to God. That he was being worshipped by Mary. And that it was wholehearted worship. No question there. There's no question that it was wholehearted. There's a lot of factors here. One, that it was complete wholehearted worship. Evident in what she poured out on his feet. Evident that it was no casual thing. It wasn't, well, you know, Jesus is here. I suppose I should give him a little bit of credit. I suppose I should say, hi, Jesus. But no, it was complete, wholehearted, full, self-sacrificing worship. Jesus was the center of her experience. It wasn't abashed or ashamed worship. It was a worship that said, I don't care who's seeing me, and I don't care how humble I am in the process. She says, I am worshiping Jesus Christ. It was like there was nobody else in the room. It didn't matter who was there. There was no, I wonder what people are going to think of me. As she took her own hair and began to wipe the feet of Jesus with that spikenard. And it was humble worship. Because she went all the way down, right down on her face. Obviously on her face to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. He was so central to her experience. There we see a worshiper of God. Let me encourage you to be a worshiper of God. Don't be ashamed of him. Worship the Lord. Declare your allegiance to Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed of him and humble yourself in his sight. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, the Bible says, and he will lift you up. Fall down before him. Give him the praise and give him the glory. Humble yourself before him because he's worthy of your worship. Now, why was Mary so overwhelmed with worship to Jesus Christ just happened at this point in time? She knew who he was. That's a good reason. Any other reason why? That's another good reason. He was her savior. Is there another one?
She's the one that was going to get the stones? No.
That's another woman in John chapter 8. He had just raised her brother from the dead, 4 days dead. Do you think she was grateful? You think she was excited? Now I'll tell you something. Worship will be found in your life when you see the activity of God in your life. But if you are not seeing the activity of God, you have no desire to worship. But when you see his activity, and I want you to know something, God is always active, just sometimes you're not looking. Sometimes you're not noticing his activity. Sometimes you're looking in every other direction and you miss it. Was the Lord Jesus active in the presence of the Pharisees? Did they see him do these great miracles? But they missed it all. And they were not worshipers. But when you truly see his activity, when you actually see it for what it is, suddenly you become a worshiper of God. And sometimes it's a fresh thing. You see somebody else worshiping and it stirs your own heart a little bit. Has that ever happened to you? Where suddenly you're lifted again. Where you hear the word of God spoken and suddenly it begins to burn into your soul again. Where once you began to get a little dry and dusty and suddenly your heart begins to sing again. Ah, Jesus. Oh, Lord, you are good. You are good. And Mary had experienced this glorious situation where Jesus calls to Lazarus from the grave and says, come forth. And she saw this happen. And so it was fresh on her mind and her heart was filled with worship. Oh, Lord, daily, Lord, open our eyes to see your miracles. Dear Lord Jesus, don't let us go cold in worship, but let us have fervency and passion and desire and heart. And let us be those who are worshiping you in spirit and in truth. Because we can worship him. And we can worship him when things aren't going so well. Blessed be your name. When the sun's shining down on me. Blessed be your name when I'm lost. When I'm in the desert place. Blessed be your name. Give him the glory. Mary was a worshiper of God. And that fragrance of that oil filled the house. Where you are a true worshiper of God. The fragrance of your worship will be wherever you go. People will notice there's something different. There's something real. There's something powerful about being a worshiper of God. Because you're in touch with the Creator. Because you are born and made to worship. And so when you are a true worshiper of God, It transforms you on the inside. It affects your life, and it will affect who you are. It'll affect everything about you as you walk in this world. Now, somebody noticed this worship in a different way. One of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said this: "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" Because that's what it was worth, about 300 denarii, which is a year's wages. He says, "This is a waste." That's what he said. "This is a terrible waste. This should have been put in the money box, and it should have been sold. The money for it should have come in and given away to the poor." Oh, that sounds so good, doesn't it? Judas Iscariot is such a holy man. He's thinking about the poor. Is that what it is? This, he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and he had the money box and he used to take what was put in it. He was watching this fragrance, this oil, just being spilled out. It was all going to be used in one shot. Now, that kind of oil could have lasted for weeks and months. A little dabble, do ya? And here, it was all dumped on Jesus in one splash. And Judas looks at this and says, "What a terrible waste." A number of years ago, I forget, there was some people that showed up at a Bible study in Shetty Camp, and it was a man and his wife, and we were singing, and I sang a song, and she started saying, "What a waste." "Oh," she said, "what a waste." I said, "Excuse me, what are you saying?" She said, "What a waste of your voice to be singing this stuff when you could be singing country and western songs. What a terrible waste," she said. She looked at me, worshiping God, and she said, "What a waste. You could be using this to sing, 'You left me for another.'" Right? Imagine. Was it a waste? Oh, no, it isn't a waste. Give your best to the Master. Give your soul and your life to Jesus. It isn't a waste to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. It isn't a waste to pour out your life to the Lord Jesus. It's a pleasure. It's a privilege. A high privilege. The highest privilege you could ever have is to worship God, to be found worshiping Him. It isn't a waste for me to spend my life sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. To many people, it doesn't make any sense at all. It's an absolute honor. I was just talking to a man last night, and I said, "You know, I'm starting a church in Shetty Camp." I said, "There's not many people going to any churches anymore, but I said, we're starting one and people are starting to come." He said, "Oh, churches, people don't need churches anymore. We don't need any churches. We don't need church anywhere." And I said to him, "Oh, my friend, we do. We need the people of God. We need the truth of the Bible. We need the word of God." Ah! And he walked away. What a waste. My life to him is a waste. When I could be out in Fort McMurray, or I could be, making money. Because that counts, right? Ah, listen, it is not a waste to pour out, to be spent, as Paul said, "I'm willing to spend and be spent for the gospel." It isn't a waste. And that's what Judas Iscariot had to say. And by and large, that's what the world will say if they find you to be a worshiper of God. People ask, "What do you do?" I said, "I'm a preacher. I share the gospel of Jesus Christ." Some people don't get very excited about that, right? But I'm excited. Have you noticed? I'm excited about the Lord Jesus. I'm excited about worshiping God. I'm excited about falling before Him. I'm excited about giving Him glory. He's worthy to be given glory to. And let the world say it's a waste. Let people say it's a waste. Because you see where Judas's heart was. It was fixed on the dollar, wasn't it? It was fixed on the dollar. He had a pretense of caring for the poor, but he didn't care for the poor at all. All he cared about was, "Can I get a hold of that money?" And there it was getting poured out on the feet of Jesus. What a waste when I could have had it. What a waste when I could have spent it on things that I wanted. And Jesus had an answer. I mean, he could have exposed Judas. He didn't. Judas eventually was going to get exposed very shortly because he was going to trade in the Lord Jesus for what? 30 pieces of silver. He was going to trade in the Lord Jesus. He was going to hit the jackpot. He was going to hit the premium. He was going to get it all. 30 pieces of silver. That was a lot more than 300 denarii. Boy, he was going to be set for life. And what happens to Judas Iscariot? With all that he chased after, all that he thought was much more precious than Jesus, he hung himself. He lost it all. Once he had it in his hand, he had nothing but despair. Once he had it in his hand, he was remorseful, but he was not repentant. He threw the money back in front of them and went out and hung himself. What a tragedy. And I want you to know that those who do not worship the Lord Jesus Christ will find themselves in tragedy. It may take a lifetime. It might take the end of their days. But at some point, they will fall down and realize they've lost it all. They will discover that trading in the Lord Jesus for anything else was a cheap bargain and the worst bargain they could ever have. It was useless and worthless because every person that is in hell right now would gladly be able to want to say, if I had Jesus, if I only had Jesus. We look in the Gospel of Luke and we have a man who cries out. And he cries out for mercy. And then he says, well, I know I can't have it now, but let my brothers know so they might have mercy. People who know, in the know, understand that it is worthwhile to worship Jesus Christ. It is futile to live life without him. Don't go down life's road without the Lord Jesus. Don't go down without being a worshiper of God. Don't miss the reality of this. Don't be a Judas Iscariot. You say, well, I would never betray the Lord. But if you are not a worshiper of God, then you are not. You figure out what that means. You are not. John 12:7, but Jesus said, let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. The poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always. Now, does that mean Jesus didn't care for the poor? No. But he said, you always will have the poor. Me, I'm only here for a short period of time. And Mary has done something here. She has kept this for my burial. Now, that doesn't make sense, does it? How come she was pouring it on his feet if she kept it for his burial? Why was she doing that for his burial? He wasn't dead yet, was he? But how did she know? She didn't know? You don't think she knew? It says she has kept this for the day of my burial.
But he wasn't being buried that day.
Huh?
He wasn't being buried that day.
But why did she dump it on him?
But he was going. She knew.
Did she know that he was going to be crucified?
Well, he said he did. He had told her he was, but I don't know if she knew.
But he told all the disciples that.
Yeah.
Did they catch on?
No, they didn't.
No, they didn't. Why Mary? Why did she catch on? How did she know something about his burial and have a spirit-led, no question, intuition to pour this on the feet of Jesus for his burial? How did she know such things? I wonder, you think she heard it from the apostles?
No.
The apostles didn't even catch on themselves. They didn't catch the drift. He kept telling them and they kept saying, what did Peter say when he told Peter? Peter said, not so, Lord. They didn't catch on. When he was dead, they figured it was all over. They were hiding in a room. How did Mary know? Luke 10:38. Look at this. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. What was the good part? She was at Jesus' feet. Now listen, she was at Jesus' feet being a worshiper. But she was at Jesus' feet being a worshiper because she sat at Jesus' feet and was a learner. Because she took the time to listen to Jesus. She knew things about Jesus that the disciples didn't know. You want to take some time to get at the feet of Jesus. Take time to pray. Take time to open the Word of God and read it and look at it and ask God, teach me, Lord. Show me, oh God. You won't get enough if you're just coming to hear me. I'm only here once every couple of weeks. If that's all you're living on, you're just barely getting on. You need more than that. You need Jesus. You need Him every day. You need to be at His feet. You need to be opening the Word of God. You need to be reading it for yourself. You need to be in prayer. If you're not, you won't be a worshiper. You need Him. Oh, how you need Him, how I need Him, how much we need to be at His feet. She was at the feet of Jesus. She was receiving from Jesus. And that is why she was giving back to Him. You can't give back to God if God doesn't give to you. You don't have anything to give. You need Him. You need His presence. You need His truth. You need His life. You need all that He is to be poured into your life. Mary was at the feet of Jesus. She was at the feet of Jesus, waiting on God, listening to God, to the point where she was criticized for it. You're wasting time. Mary, I'm busy here. Look, I've got so much stuff that's got to get done here, Mary. Jesus is in the house. We've got to, you know, this is important. Jesus is here. He's very important, and the disciples are important, and this is all very important. And so busy, busy, busy. Our life is busy. It's so busy. And even young people, they're busy. They're busy playing games. Busy. Oh, very busy. Too busy. Take out the trash. I'm too busy. I know these guys are never like that. Right? Yeah. Listen, don't be too busy for Jesus Christ. Please. When you take the time to be in His presence, you see who He is. And when you do, it changes everything. And here's what it says in Luke chapter 10, 42. One thing is needed. One thing. I'll tell you what. That's the one thing that's needed in your life. To be in the presence of Jesus. That's what you need. That's what I need. That's the one thing needed. Mary has chosen the good part. Good for her, eh? Good for her. And it will not be taken away from her. There's a blessing in it. God, it will not shortchange you. You won't lose if you take the good part and be a worshiper of God. You know, the thing about Mary is that we find three times in the Bible she was at the feet of Jesus. Now that means whenever she had the opportunity, that's where she was. She humbled herself. She waited on God. She heard from God. She cried out to God in her anguish. We find here at the time, we saw this in John 11, 32. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw Him, she fell down at His feet and saying to Him, Lord, if you've been here, my brother would not have died. So she knew what it was to come and learn at the feet of Jesus. She knew what it was to come and cry and pour out her heart at the feet of Jesus. And she knew what it was to come and worship at the feet of Jesus. Every part of her body, every part of her being, whether she was enjoying being at the presence in the presence of God, or whether she was in total anguish. And here she was in total anguish. But where did she go with her total anguish? She went to the feet of Jesus. So listen, no matter what the circumstances are in life, let them drive you to the feet of Jesus. And if it's anguish, come to the feet of Jesus. Wow, she got an answer. Jesus said, where have you laid Him? And he goes to the tomb and bang, He raises Him from the dead. Find yourself there often at the feet of Jesus. Get to know Him. Learn from Him. Jesus said, come and learn of Me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Learn from Jesus. Worship Jesus. Cry out to Jesus. Whatever the circumstances of life, no matter what they are, come to Jesus. The Lord Jesus is calling us to this wonderful place where we are in such in tune with Him that we are ministering to at just the right time and at the right place. And this is what Jesus says. He says, whoa, whoa, this is a good thing that she's doing. I'm getting an anointing for my burial. Because you know, Jesus' body was never anointed. They got some spices and they got ready to do it and they just wrapped them in it. But the true anointing was supposed to happen on the first day of the week. The women came down to the tomb and they came prepared to anoint the body of Jesus. And when they got there, what happened? He was gone. He was gone. Mary was given the privilege of anointing the body of Jesus even before he died, because they weren't going to get to do it after, because he rose from the dead. All the directions of God, the plans of God, the ways of God, the will of God. And Mary, because she was at the feet of Jesus, was walking in the will and the way of God. Oh, friends, don't miss walking in the will and the way of God. Don't miss the glory of being a worshiper of God. Don't miss the privilege when you're down and out, when trouble comes, when you're overwhelmed. Instead of hitting the panic button, instead of absolutely losing it, you can fall at the feet of Jesus. Don't miss that, because that's what happens when we're not going to be found worshiping him, when we're not spending our time, when we're devoted to him. When crisis comes, sometimes he's the last person that we can turn to, and all the while he's the first person to come to and pour out our souls. And we will experience true worship in our lives, and we will discover the truths of what Jesus said. As we even see here, the Lord Jesus in Mark 6:31 said, "Come yourselves and depart to a desert place and rest a while." The Lord wants you to be still and know that he is God. Psalm 27:4 says, "One thing I desire of the Lord, and that's that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." That's a beautiful verse. That's a good one to memorize, Psalm 27:4. He says, there's one thing. This is a king who is ruling over all of his subjects. But he says, oh, there's one thing that I desire. That's what I'm seeking after. And that is to dwell in the house of God. That is to be in the presence of God all the days of my life. Not once in a while. And to behold the beauty of the Lord. To see his beauty. And to inquire in his temple. To learn from him. That's Mary. Right there in that verse. Don't lose your focus. Doesn't matter how many years worth of wages we have or don't have. What matters is to be found worshiping at the feet of Jesus. God, may you be gracious to each one of us and open our eyes to see how glorious the Lord Jesus is, how worthwhile it is to bow before him, and how awesome it is to be able to find you there, to pour our hearts out to when trouble and trials come, and Lord, to be able to pour out our whole soul to you and say, Lord, I worship you. I abandon my whole life, body, soul, and spirit to you, Lord Jesus. Bless us, Lord, to be true worshipers, we pray tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.